Well, something that's on my heart that I wanted to start off with, and that is, I, and more than me, God does not take your presence for granted. You guys over there, and you, blesses him and Shakti and I to see your faces here. We want to make fellowship a wonderful time, not a church thing where you go through religious aerobics. We're not about that. We want to be happy and clap our hands, stomp our feet, and say hooray and praise God. So I want to first of all say thank you for being here. And for those who have called in, the same greetings and blessings and joy go out to you also. So that brings me to the title of tonight's sharing. Something that Bob touched on a little bit in his last fellowship, and Jeannie did in her last fellowship at Point Loma. But I've combined the two to get into it a little bit more so. And the title of tonight's sharing is simply Faith and Hope. Faith and Hope. How many know that those are in God's Word? A little bit or a lot? A lot. Do we need them or not? We do. Okay. So, first of all, our theme verse is on the screen, and I will read it to you. It's Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. If you saw everything that you were hoping for or believed in, then you really wouldn't need too much hope, right? But anyway, God has that in there for a reason. Now, the world's hope and faith oftentimes is uncertain circumstances, desires, even personal opinions. We've all heard of someone in life say, man, I sure have faith in you. Well, that can be a personal opinion where other people might not, but yet they're saying this. Or, I hope George can make it through, right? That too is circumstantial, and it's a worldly hope. But what we're going to look at is a biblical look at faith and hope. Biblical faith and hope are rooted and based on the promises and character of who? God, of God. When we base our faith and hope in man, you're going to be disappointed. You really are, even with their good intentions and with their kind words of saying, I have faith in you. I hope you can finish what you're doing. Okay? But there's no guarantees in that. And you know what? That just shows and puts the light on God to how frail we are and how limited we can be. But the faith and hope, looking to God, will never let you down. Faith and hope are truly, they're intertwined. They're intertwined. One points to the other when it comes to faith and hope. And when you read God's Word, you see that. One points to the other. And I want you to go to 1 Corinthians so we can see some of this stuff. 1 Corinthians 13:13, please. Yeah, we sure need both of them. And they go hand in hand. But there's a third part to this and to everything in God's Word, which we'll read right now. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. Let me stop there. Sometimes when we read God's Word, we kind of skim over it, looking for a particular thing and neglecting the other things and the significance of those words. In this word, the third word is abideth. What does that mean? It doesn't mean to hang out for 5 minutes with something or someone. It means to live in that. That's your life. You abide here in Claremont or Ocean Beach or wherever. That's where you live. You come and go back to your base. That's where you abide. And it says, and now abide. Now lives in that faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, the love of God. And that's wonderful. Faith and hope are very important. It gives us direction and a sense of what to believe in. But the motivating factor should always be the love of God. And that's what holds things together. I said that faith and hope are intertwined, but if you will, the glue in all the nooks and crannies is the love of God, is the love of God. Biblically speaking, faith is having the belief in something or someone. We all believe in something or someone in life, aside from the spiritual things. And you know what? From time to time, they will let you down. Like, I believe that every morning I go to work, I stick the key in the car and turn it, it's going to start up. That's what I believe. I'm not going to say I hope for that, but I believe that. And there's been a time or two where I did that, click, click, nothing. Why? The battery was shot. But I didn't wake up in the morning and say, I believe my car is not going to start today. Yes. I believe that I can spend money on a brand new battery. No. I want it to start and get on with my day. But we believe in something or someone such as God and His promises. There's nothing greater than to believe in God and His promises. Why? How many of us have been promised by someone and have been let down? I want to be the first one to admit this to you. I promised something to someone in life and I let them down. I didn't come through. My intentions were good, but I let it fall through the cracks. Not with God. When God promises something, He will fulfill it. So that's why our faith and hope should be directed towards Him. You will not be let down. Hope is what carries you and I through, towards the destination. The destination. And Jesus Christ is our hope, and He leads us to the ultimate destination, which is, anyone? Eternal life. Thank you, Leslie. Eternal life. That's where He leads us to. He is the source of hope in this life, Jesus Christ. All right? Giving us the forgiveness we so desperately needed. We all needed forgiveness. If you don't need forgiveness, boy, I want your autograph. And who's also the transformation and a living hope through faith and the Holy Spirit. This is where we get that from. And hope is also a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. A certain thing to happen. And there's a lot of certain things that we want to happen when it comes to the spiritual life and God Almighty. So hope is also a feeling of expectation and a desire that we all have to have in our hearts to keep us looking in that direction, moving in that direction, and believing in that direction. We've all had that. We all experienced that. We don't do that with hollow feelings. We do that with expectations, with the results God can give us. Let's read what God says about His promises, and that He assures the believer that God's plans are for our good. God's plans are for our good. And to see this, I'm going to read it out of one of my favorite versions, of course, is the NLT. Look at Jeremiah 29:11, please. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. And this is God speaking, and what reassuring words He has for us. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." In life, when we're going to make a trip somewhere, another country, what have you, we set up an itinerary that we follow. Our plans are to do this, this, and this. Do they always work out? No. Flights are canceled, delayed, or your funds are not quite there to do it, even though that's what you were hoping for, and other things. But when it comes to God, He says, "I know the plans I have for you." And for someone to say that, that must mean that it's going to happen. They know. God knew before you were born that you'd be a part of His family. He knew when that day arrived, you were going to say, "I believe in God and Jesus Christ and that God raised Him from the dead. I believe that." You didn't know it when you were born, because you didn't have a brain big enough to think that until you got older. whatever age that was. But you didn't know that that was in the forecast of your life. God did. And that's what makes it so awesome when he says this. And it goes on to say, they are plans for what? Good. For good. For good. And not for disaster. God doesn't plan for you to have disasters. You know who does? The adversary. The floods in Texas, you think God started that and wanted that to happen? No. That's the evil one in his ways. It finishes by saying, to give you a future and a hope. He gives us a future and a hope. When someone says, what are you going to do when you retire? I'm going to have a wonderful future, I know that, and a hope. Because God says that. But the world, no, not necessarily. It's always contingent on something or another. Now, let me read a familiar verse of Scripture that we're all familiar with pretty much. But I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. And you can follow along in yours if you want. It's Hebrews 6:19. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. It says, which hope we have as an anchor of our soul or of the soul. An anchor, talking about it in the five senses world, and being as if I was in the Navy, is something that holds a ship at one particular spot or place. And I don't know if you've ever seen an anchor on an aircraft carrier. They're huge. They weigh tons. One link of that chain, probably 300 pounds, just one link. And this anchor embeds itself in the floor of the ocean. And does that ship move at all? Yes, it does. But it doesn't leave that particular location. Because of the storms that come and go, it's going to go left and right and move around in our lives. This is the anchor to our souls. Are we going to have tribulations in our life? Yes. Are we going to have situations that are uncomfortable? Yes. But God says, don't worry. Don't put all your thoughts on that. But know that your soul is anchored to the hope. You're going to be moved about, but you ain't going to budge. Let's see what it finishes saying. Both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. NLT puts it this way. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. After reading that, I had a couple of questions. And so I went to more of a research in this verse, and I found this. I thought it was very enlightening concerning Hebrews 6:19. It says in Hebrews 6:19, the veil represents, not the sound of a jet. Bear with us. Okay. One of the things that God gives us is patience. The veil represents the entrance into the heavenly sanctuary, the very presence of God, where Jesus, our high priest, has entered on our behalf as a forerunner, our hope. Therefore, it is not merely a wish, but a firm and secure anchor for our souls. Grounded in the reality of Jesus' presence in the heavenly sanctuary and the assurance of our future acceptance into God's presence. I thought that was very enlightening to see as far as that particular verse goes. Now, faith is defined as a complete trust or confidence in something, again, or someone. All right? In the world, people let us down every day. That's not what we're talking about here. Now, the Hebrew word for hope is tikvah, spelled T-I-Q-V-A-H. It could also mean cord or rope. When I saw that, I was scratching my head. Hope? cord, rope? How does that work out? Well, let me finish reading. And it is associated with the concept of a tangible object to hold onto during difficult times of waiting or uncertainty. The storms I mentioned earlier, they're going to come and go. You're going to have difficult times, and you're going to have some uncertainty in your lives, but we don't base that on our wisdom. We're looking to God with our faith and hope to get us through these times. Another word, another Hebrew word I should say related to hope is kavah, spelled Q-A-V-A-H, which means to wait with expectation or anticipation, such as Jesus Christ's return, who is our hope. It's also used in the context of waiting for God to act. God's going to act. Has he not already? Absolutely. He's acted so much so that he gave his only begotten Son. That was a great act on God's part. And so this is what carries us through these times, is knowing that we are waiting on the Lord, whether it's for healing, whether it's for Jesus Christ's return, all that's going to happen. We just got to stay focused on that and believe that in our hearts without hesitation. In the world, you're going to have hesitation because you can't always rely on man. Now, the Greek word for faith, a lot of you know this word, is pistis, right? And is frequently translated, it is transliterated, pistis, and is frequently translated as faith, belief, or trust. Faith is trusting in something or someone. You trust it in your seat when you sit, right? Wherever that may be, in school, at home, whatever. You never go, man, I hope this chair doesn't collapse when I sit in it. You trust that it's going to be fine. The only way that won't work is when someone pulls it out from under you, but that's another game people play. Well, the seat we can sit in with complete trust is called faith and hope. That chair is comfortable. That chair will never let you down. That chair is to be looked at with faith and hope and this trust that I just mentioned. Which, again, are held together with the love of God. As we read, please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse 13. Again, these are God's words, not mine, not some priest, but God Almighty. It says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, and these three. But the greatest, again, is charity. We read that a minute ago. But it's so important to know that God backs everything in his word. And we are to look at it without skepticism or is God big enough? He sure is. He sure is. In the context of this New Testament, we just saw it, pistis, often signifies a deep and active trust in who? God. And what? His promises. If you believe those, then start to open up those packages of promises and be blessed. Be blessed. Faith and hope should always carry you through and without shame or disappointment. Without shame or disappointment. So let's go to Romans chapter 5, please. We'll look at something here. Romans 5. And when you get to Romans 5, let's go to verse 1. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by what? I can't hear you. Okay, I heard the Jets, but I want to hear you guys. Why do you got to practice now? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. By whom also we have access by what? Faith. It's a very critical word, a very critical concept. Into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in what? hope of the glory of God. God gets the glory, and it's always something to hope in. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. What? I'm going to glory in tribulations or a bad day at work? Why? Let's finish reading. Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. When you stand your ground through these hard times and get through it with patience, it only makes you stronger. It only makes you stronger. Verse 4, and this patience, it causes us to have experience. Oh, I've had a hard time before, and I will get through this. And experience what? Hope. And then verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto each and every one of us. We do not take that for granted, and we thank and praise God for that he's given us that. So, there's a lot of things that hinge on faith and hope, and that's okay. That's why God put this in our lives, put this in our hearts. Let me say this, that Christian faith is not complete without hope, and Christian faith is not complete without faith, or hope is not complete without faith. Again, they're intertwined. Well, what about Abraham? Did he ever have a need for faith and hope? Absolutely. Having hope unto believing, Abraham sure did. So let's look at Romans chapter 4. I'll read this out of the NLT. Romans 4, and when you get to Romans 4, go to verse 18. Abraham had every reason to doubt in his five senses life that what God is about to tell him here was not going to happen. And if it wasn't because of him, it surely was because of Sarah, his wife. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham, there you go, he had no reason for hope at this particular juncture, believing that he would become a father of many nations. How? Do you know how old I am, Lord? Do you know how old my mate, my wife is? How? Who is he talking to? God Almighty. What did God make? The heavens, the earth, and all that is good in them? Would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. Referring to the stars in heaven. There's a lot of stars in heaven. So many so that I don't think we have a number big enough to count up to as far as how many stars are there. But God was just giving him an analogy, something to lock onto and look to see how great God was going to do in his life when it came to that. And so if he can do that for Abraham, what can he do for you? What is this world in our five senses blinding us with? We put on our God glasses. One lens is faith and the other one is hope. And you will see things happen in your lives as long as you are looking through those. The world wants you to put on their glasses. You know what they're called? Rose-colored glasses. Not with God. Yeah, God made roses, but the glasses. Yeah. What Abraham inevitably believed in and saw come into fruition, that took some honest, unwavering believing, accompanied with hope, in all that God spoke to him about. Amen? Amen. So, in closing, let's remember, all our faith and hope are not done in vain. There's a payback, if you will. In the world, sometimes you're going to go for a withdrawal and there's not going to be nothing there. But with God, his promises are stacked on promises. His promises are there for a reason. We don't go through life reading God's word saying, oh, that was something really nice to read. All the poetry in there and the kind words and those, but those are written to each and every one as an individual and as a family that we surely believe in. And the moment we get humble enough to say, God, I believe what you're saying. I want to see it happen in my life. And here's some prayers I'm giving to you. When you lock in on that and believe with your heart, soul, and strength, be ready. Be ready. You cannot do that with the world, sadly enough. That's why we need God more than ever. We need what Jesus Christ did more than ever. This is what gets us through life, the faith and the hope. So when you're having a hard time, check in on your faith list and your hope list and say, Father, this shall pass. My faith is in what you say, what you do for me. So, in closing, again, remember all that our faith and hope is not done in vain, because we believe to the end. And the end doesn't mean when it's over with. I mean in this life to the one that's ahead of us. That's our end. And that end doesn't have an end. It's for all eternity. So, amen. So, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for giving us the faith and the hope that you show us and teach us in your word, that it's something we need to do in our lives, something we need to focus in our lives, each and every one of us, and help each other with that too, Father. Because, yes, sometimes life beats us up to the point where we feel like giving up. But no, faith and hope will see us through. It gives us the experience. And, Father, help us, Father, again, when we have hard times, because that's not what our life is about. It's about good times. Hard times are the tribulations that your word talks about, but we shall get through them, because you are the Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth. You are the Almighty God who created man, and you created each and every person in this room to have that faith and hope in their lives and not allow their five senses or the world to trick us, because we know who's behind that. So, Father, I thank you for each person in this room that their faith and hope is super strong, Father, which shouldn't be hard after reading your word and seeing who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and what we can do in Christ. So we praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord, as long as we draw breath, Father, all in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen.
Amen.